Today we're going to continue our study on noteworthy verses in the Holy Bible. What I mean by noteworthy is verses that stick out. Amen. Before we begin our study today, I just invite our listeners to visit my website that has a lot of good Bible study material. You can download it, amen, free of charge. And the website is All the Counsel of God. You run the whole phrase together, allthecounselofgod.com. Also, I'd like to mention, if you enjoy listening to the pastor study, if it's been a blessing to you, pray and consider maybe sending some support to support the ministry of the pastor study to help pay the radio bill. And you can send that directly to the radio station and tell them that you want to put it towards the pastor study. All right, then, let's turn our attention. We want to look at Psalm 16, and verses 9 and 10. The Word of God has this to say. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. And what I want us to see, what stands out about this verse, is the verses show that Christ descended into hell before ascending into the third heaven. I also want us to look at some other cross references that support this. Notice, first of all, if we turn to the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 40, notice what the words of God say. Jesus said this, "For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." Amen. And then we want to look at the book of Ephesians, if you turn to Ephesians chapter 4 with me. And notice what the words of God have to say in verses 8 and 9. "Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended," what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? And of course, it's referring to Jesus Christ. Amen. He was 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And then our last verse we want to look at in connection with this is found in 1 Peter in chapter number 3 in verse number 19. Notice what the words of God say. "By which also he," referring to he here is referring to Jesus Christ, "went and preached unto the spirits in prison." Amen. So Jesus did some preaching when he was in the heart of the earth. He preached unto the spirits in prison. I believe those that were in Abraham's bosom at the time. Amen. Now notice, we want to turn, we're looking at verses in the book of Psalms. And now I want us to turn to Psalm number 19. Psalm number 19, and let's look at the first 6 verses together. "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit under the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof." Now, what I want us to see, what stands out about this passage is, here we see the existence of a creation. The existence of a creation demands the existence of a creator. And these verses show how nature proves the existence of God. We also see this being taught in Romans chapter 1, verse 20. So I'd like us to turn to the book of Romans for a moment. The book of Romans, chapter 1. And notice what the words of God say in verse number 20 with me. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Amen. So, those who deny it, are deliberately living with their eyes closed. Paul even makes reference to these verses in Romans chapter 10, verse 18, in the context of preaching the word. So we need to go back to the book of Romans for a moment in chapter number 10. And let's look at that verse 18 in chapter 10, Romans 10, verse 18. And the word of God says, but I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, in their words, under the ends of the world. Okay, let's continue as we're looking at some noteworthy verses here in the book of Psalms. Psalm 20, verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. What I want us to see about this verse is this is a great memory verse, especially for anyone who tends to trust military might instead of God's blessings. Amen. Again, that verse there says, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. You see, my dear listeners, ultimately our trust must not be in man and the things of man, but in Almighty God. Now, Psalms 22 and 24, these three psalms are three chapters with which all Christians should be familiar. It's unfortunate that most are only familiar with Psalm 23 and not the other two, because all three fit together as a unit. For example, Psalm 22 deals with the past work of Christ the prophet. Psalm 23 speaks of his present work as our high priest. Then Psalm 24 points to his future work as the King of Kings. Another way to word it is to say, the Good Shepherd, Psalm 22, the Great Shepherd, Psalm 23, and the Chief Shepherd, Psalm 24. Jesus is given these three titles in the New Testament in these respective contexts. First, let's look at the Gospel of John with me. Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 14. Notice here what the words of God say. Jesus is speaking. He says, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. Now let's turn to the book of Hebrews. So we see the good shepherd. Amen. Jesus is the good shepherd. Now let's turn our attention to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13 in verse number 20. The word of God says this. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, here it is, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. And then finally, let's look at 1 Peter in chapter 5, in verse number 4. Notice what the Word of God says. And when the, here it is, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Amen. Alrighty. Now let's turn our attention to Psalm 27. Look at Psalm 27. When you get to Psalm 27, look at verse number 10. When my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. What's noteworthy about this verse? This is a great promise for those who feel forsaken by family members because of their faith in Christ. Jesus said he didn't come to this earth to bring peace, but division. And unfortunately, when we get saved, born again, our life changes through Jesus Christ and for Jesus Christ, our unsaved family members will reject us and have nothing to do with us. But this is a great memory verse to remember. When my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. And then in verse number 14 of Psalm 27, the Word of God says, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I don't know about you, but I have a problem with patience. In this verse here is a great memory verse on patience. Wait on the Lord. Boy, we hate to wait. We want everything now. We want God to work now, don't we? Wait on the Lord. And while you're waiting, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Be patient. Begins with patience and ends with patience. But we can have good courage, amen, as we wait on the Lord, because through that waiting, he is going to strengthen our heart. Now, let's look at Psalm 29 and verse number 2. The Word of God says this in Psalm 29, verse number 2. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Now, holiness is not fanaticism or Pentecostalism. Holiness is beautiful in the eyes of God, and it is required of those who seek to worship him. Amen. Alrighty, Psalm number 30. As we're looking at noteworthy verses, or verses that stick out or stand out here in the Holy Bible, and right now we're looking at verses in the book of Psalms. Psalm 30, verse 5. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. What I want us to see about this verse is this is a great promise for those who are going through grief or hardships. We also need to look at verses 11 and 12 of this psalm. Notice, thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent, O Lord my God. I will give thanks unto thee forever. Yes, his anger may endure for a moment, and weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Amen. Alrighty, let's turn our attention now to Psalm 33 with me in verse 12. Psalm 33, verse 12, the Word of God has this to say. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheriteth. Amen. Now, what I want us to see about this verse. Now, the nation in question here is Israel. But the spiritual application can be made for any nation. Amen. That nation will be blessed whose God is the Lord. Amen. In our country, the United States of America has been blessed down through the years. Amen. Because our God is the Lord. But unfortunately, things have changed. Amen. And many, many people are turning away from Almighty God. And what happens is, according to our verse, God's hand of blessing is being taken off. Amen. So remember that. It applies to any nation. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And all you need to do is look at all the nations in the world. And we can tell which ones whose God is the Lord and which ones have been blessed. But my goodness, dear listeners, this country has been mightily blessed of the Lord because the nation whose God whose God is the Lord will be blessed. Alrighty, now let's turn over to Psalm 34 in verses 9 and 10. Psalm 34, verses 9 and 10. The Word of God says, O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Now, what I want us to notice here is, notice how the King James Version defines its own words. The word, the want of verse 9 is defined as lack in verse 10. And we see that over and over again, how the King James Version will define its own words. Amen. Now look at verse 20 of Psalm 34. It says, the Word of God says this, he keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Okay, what stands out about this verse? Well, here we have a reference. The reference is to Jesus being a perfect sacrificial lamb with no broken bones. The New Testament reference is in John chapter 19, verse 36. So we need to turn there. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 19, verse 36. And the Word of God has this to say, for these things were done, that the Scripture should be fulfilled. The bone of him, him being Jesus Christ, shall not be broken. Amen. And of course, we know those that were crucified. Amen. If they wanted to hasten the death of that person on the cross, they would break their bones, break their legs, so they couldn't push up to get in a breath. Amen. And we know that Jesus Christ pictures the Passover lamb. And one of the things about the Passover lamb, when it was served and so forth and so on for the Passover supper, that a bone was not to be broken of it. So here we see that picture, Jesus Christ, amen, being a picture of the Passover lamb, and to go along with the bones not being broken in the Passover lamb, Jesus Christ, who pictures, amen, or that type, fulfills that type of the Passover lamb, none of his bones were broken, amen. Alrighty, now let's turn to Psalm 37. And we want to look at verses 1 through 6. Psalm 37, verses 1 through 6. the Word of God has this to say. It says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday." Well, what about this passage? I believe that every Christian should be familiar with these verses, especially young folks who are still trying to decide what to do with their lives. God's way seldom sees best, but those who choose it will never regret it. Amen. Psalm 37 again, in verse 13, the Word of God says, "The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming." And hence, from this verse, we get the expression, "His day is coming." Alrighty, we're still in Psalm 37. Let's look at verses 23 to 25. Psalm 37, verses 23 to 25, the words of God say this: "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." And all I want to say about this passage is it's a great memory passage that all of us need to take hold of and put it in our hearts. Amen. And remember what it says here. Alrighty, let's turn to Psalm 39. Psalm 39 in verse number 5. Psalm 39 verse 5, the Word of God says this: "Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity, Selah." What a powerful verse here. We're told that our days are as a handbreadth, that our days on this earth are very short. Amen. In our age, whatever age we live to be, is nothing compared to God and his existence, which has been forever. And then really it hits home here. Any of us try to get on our high horse and think we're something, God puts it in proper perspective here. He says, "Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity." Vanity, vain, worthless. Amen. And of course, this verse here is a good verse to use with Romans 3:10 and 3:23 when showing someone that all men are sinners. Amen. Yeah, let's look at Romans chapter 3, Romans 3 with me. And we'll look at first at verse 10 of Romans 3. A lot of you may use this when you're witnessing to someone in the Romans road. You're using the verses in Romans. Romans chapter 3, verse 10 says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." And then verse 23 of Romans 3, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Amen. So we all come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. Amen. "And verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity." At his best state. Amen. Imagine what man is at his worst state, my friend. All righty. Let's turn to Psalm 40 and look at verses 1 to 3 together. Psalm 40, verses 1 to 3. The words of God say this: I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. So this passage well describes the Christian salvation experience, with the rock obviously being Christ. Amen. We can attest to the fact, everyone that is saved, that yes, the Lord brought us out of a horrible pit. Amen. The pit of despair, the pit of sin, the future pit of the lake of fire. Amen. And yes, he did took us out of that miry clay. Amen. That sinking clay, and set us upon a rock, the rock being Jesus Christ. I hope you're standing on Jesus. I hope today that your foundation is Jesus Christ. My friend, if you want to be taken up out of that horrible pit, amen, out of that miry clay and set your feet upon the rock Jesus Christ, won't you believe on him today? Amen. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice, also, as we are in Psalm 40, verses 6 to 10, the sacrifice and offerings thou didst not desire, mine ears hast thou opened, burnt offerings and sin offerings hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness, within my heart. I declare thy faithfulness in thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. And what we have here, what I want us to see clearly, is the passage refers to the ministry of Christ and his faithfulness to the Father. And in conjunction with this, I want us to look what it says in Hebrews chapter number 10, Hebrews 10 verse 7. Notice, Hebrews 10 verse 7, and then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. So here we see in Hebrews, it talks about Jesus Christ. Amen. It's written in the word of God that he came, and he came to do the will of the Father. Amen and amen. So, Psalm 42, I just want to say, we won't look at it, but Psalm 42 is the Bible chapter on dealing with discouragement and what the world calls depression. If every psychiatrist would prescribe Psalm 42 instead of dope, we would see a lot of problems being solved instead of symptoms being, amen, treated. All righty, we've just about run out of time, and I hope you'll continue to join me next time as we continue our study on noteworthy verses in the Holy Bible.